Thanks, worship team, and good morning. This is genuinely, legitimately weird to be looking at you but not being able to see you. I'm standing here in a virtually empty auditorium. I was encouraged by one of our members that I could wear shorts this morning. I opted not to do that. But the pandemic is here, isn't it? And it's come home to all of us this week. I'm sure everyone has their own stories to tell. And occasionally there are events that overtake us that are of such a magnitude that we adjust the sermon to respond to and hear God's word to us in the midst of whatever's happening. And this is one of those times. So what we're doing with the sermons is we're taking the last two of the Ten Commandments, we're setting those aside for now, and we'll return to those, Lord willing, in the near future. This morning we want to have a message from Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. And I want to encourage you, whatever's going on right now, to do whatever you can to be able to set aside all distractions. This verse, God's word to us, can be a game changer. And eternal things can happen in this next half hour or so. As we come into this new stage season for us, we have a couple things in mind this morning. We really want to respond to the virus, as Vince has said well earlier, in two ways. First, we need to adapt our behavior to minimize transmitting this virus. And so that's why we're meeting online this morning. And with that, I just want to pause and say thanks, because you've received emails. You're watching electronically this morning. There has been an enormous amount of effort this week expended by a number of people to try to assess the situation, to discern what wise practices are, what trusting God and loving neighbor looks like. And so people on the response team, the elders, the admin team, and especially Vince, I just want to thank each one of you, because this has been a very stressful, difficult time. It's fluid. It's changing day to day, sometimes hour by hour. And so we're really grateful for the way people are serving us and helping us to respond to that. So that's the first thing we want to do, is we want to adapt our behavior. The second thing we want to do is, church, I want to encourage you, this is an opportunity. Let us see this moment as an opportunity. With God's help, we can move from fear to love. With God's help, we can move, if we're not fearful but careless and unconcerned, we can move from that place to love. With God's help, we can seize this time to love others. And I want to encourage you, God has placed us here for a time such as this. And just because we're not meeting together at the church this morning doesn't mean we're no longer the church this morning. We are. We're the church that's going to be dispersed and scattered in our region this week in a variety of ways. And so let us see this as an opportunity, and let us glorify God by turning away from fear, trusting Him, and then turning and loving our neighbors wherever and however possible. So this morning we are addressing the topic of fear, and then next week, Vince is going to bring a message about love. And so that's the plan. Fear, turning away from that so that we can be positioned to reach out and in love. Back in 2014, I gave a message that this is adapted from on the topic of fear. And I gave credit to Ed Welch for his book, Running Scared, which was a great help to me. I'm a professional worrier. I'm from a long line of professional worriers, and I found great help from that writing. And so Isaiah 41:10 is our go-to verse this morning. I'm going to read for context the first 10 verses of Isaiah 41 and focus on verse 10. God's word to us. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us draw near together for judgment. Who stirred up one from the east, whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him, so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. Who has performed and done this? calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They've drawn near and come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his neighbor, be strong. The craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths the hammer with him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, oh, it's good. And they strengthen it with nails so that it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hear verse 10 once more. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. Oh God, you've said these words were written for us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I pray for a powerful, hope-imparting work of the Spirit through Isaiah 41:10. For your glory, I pray. Amen. Well, what a week it's been. Who could have imagined the way the week would have unfolded? And I'm sure you've all had your own experiences and moments this week. As we think back just through the last 7 days, things in our area and in our country really accelerated into hyperdrive somewhere around the middle of the week, with schools closing and businesses switching over to telework and March Madness first. Nobody in arenas and then none at all, and sports shutting down. And many other things happening. And this can all seem unprecedented, and it can all seem overwhelming. But actually, I came across an article this week that was a helpful reminder that 100 years ago, in 1918, 1919, the Spanish flu was another pandemic that swept across the globe. And it was incredibly dangerous. 500 million people were infected by it. A third of the world population got it. 50 million people died from it, 675,000 in the United States. And in Washington, D.C., in 1918, there was the same kind of cascading of closures that happened in a week, just like we've experienced this week. On one day, they closed the public schools, and then a couple days later, they closed the private schools, and then the day after that, they banned all public gatherings, including church gatherings. And for 25 days in October of 1918, churches were not permitted to gather publicly. And I have a notice that I read from one Presbyterian church that was just urging people, well, we're not able to gather together in our sanctuary, so gather in homes and pray for God's guidance and for wisdom and for help. Pray for the physicians and the public officers of the time. And we'll be praying a prayer like that. Kenneth has a pastoral prayer for the end of our service this morning. But what a blessing that even though we're not able to gather here in our auditorium, we are able to connect electronically. And the Lord has led His church through times like this before. So let's just slow down. And I just want to ask you, how are you doing? How are you responding to what's happening? I know some are looking forward to a break from school, being able to be at home. Others are worried and anxious. Judging by the lines at the stores, there are more than a few anxious and worried people, worried about running out of hand sanitizer, toilet paper, pasta, whatever it might be. And there are legitimate reasons to be afraid, aren't there? There could be loss of income. You could get infected by this virus. The government could mismanage the situation. Hospitals could be overwhelmed. People you love who are at risk could become infected. People are dying. More people can die, probably will die. There are reasons to be afraid, but there are better reasons not to be afraid. So this morning, let us find a way out of fear. Let us find a way towards faith and trust in a great and good and present God. That's what we want to do this morning. So let's think a little bit about fear together this morning. Fear often runs in the background. It doesn't always announce itself. It powerfully, though, affects our emotions, our decisions, our affections. And many of us respond to fear just by sort of trying to ignore it, just push it away, or just try to make it stop. But I've found fear doesn't leave that easily. Fear actually can't just be thrown away like a candy wrapper. Fear has to be replaced by something more powerful than fear. To beat fear, we have to actually do something that's counterintuitive. To beat fear, you know what the first thing is to do? You have to slow down, which you're not very good at, and you have to listen. You have to listen to the fear. So that's what I want to encourage you to start with this morning. Listen to your fears. What are your fears right now? If you had to write them down, what's popping into your mind right now? What did you wake up thinking about in the middle of the night last night? What do you find yourself fretting over or anxious about? What are those fears? If we can learn to listen well to our fears and then listen well to God, we'll be able to then turn away from those fears, trust in God so that we can be empowered to turn out from ourselves and love our community and our neighbors at this time. So just two simple points this morning. Listen to fear, listen to God. Point one, listen to fear. What's fear saying? Fear is communicating something to you. What's it saying? Well, typically runs along a couple of lines. And the first thing is this, fear says you're in danger, right? Fear says you're in danger. And the reality is, regardless of where you live in the world, you are located in a dangerous place. There are forces around us that we can't control, right? Invisible germs on doorknobs. These germs don't announce themselves. They're not glowing fluorescent yellow. You can't see them. There are people sneezing. The stock market is plunging. There are powerful forces around us that can be threatening and dangerous. I spent almost 30 years living in California, and somehow, living in different parts of the state, I always managed to locate myself wherever the major earthquakes happened. And you know what happened? Was over time, I became increasingly anxious and fearful about earthquakes, so that when a truck would drive by our house at night, I'd be leaping out of bed during the earthquake shuffle, ready to respond to whatever I was going to do, which there's really nothing you can do in those things anyway. But we live in a dangerous place. The world is dangerous. And the Bible tells us why the world is dangerous. We live in a world gone wrong. We live in a paradise turned into a world reeling from the effects of human sin. And it's worth remembering right now that the incarnation is about the Son of God looking at that world from the safety of heaven and saying, I'm going to come be with you in that world. Fear says you live in a dangerous place, and that's true. Fear says you're in danger, but fear also says something else. Fear says bad things are going to happen. Now, as Vince did an excellent job communicating earlier this morning, we want to be wise, we want to be prudent, we want to listen to public officials, we want to adopt best practices. That's why we've chosen to switch over today to an online service. That's not fear. That's an effort to love our neighbors and trust God by limiting the possibility of transmitting a dangerous virus. And there are legitimate dangers in our lives that require sort of a fight or flight response. Fear isn't always sinful. But what we want to do is we want to slow down and listen to our fears. What are the things that get you? What are your fears? Is it germs? Is it elevators? Airplanes? Spiders? Snakes? Identity theft? What is it that finds its way inside your heart? And if you'll slow down and listen to those fears, you know what you'll find? You'll find the real struggle, it isn't in the present. It's in the future. It's in the bad things that are going to happen. It's not so much what's happening right now as what hasn't happened yet. It's all those things that you begin to ponder and see and react to. Fear talks to us about the future. Fear is a powerful and effective communicator, and it's talking to us about the future. And you know what our fears are saying about the future? It's going to be bad. That's what our fears are saying. So the stream goes something like this. I don't know who I was exposed to. Somebody was traveling. I might have it. And if I get it, I'm going to get sick. But how do I know if I really have it or if I maybe have allergies? What if I'm exposing other people? And what if I really get sick and I go and there aren't enough test kits? And then I go to the hospital and the emergency room is overwhelmed and I won't be able to be treated. And then I'll be out of work and there won't be enough money and you're off to the races. Those fears talk to us. And none of those things have happened yet, but they all are waiting out there in the future. Fear is future-based. One of the things I so appreciated in Ed Welch's book, as he said, fear turns us into false prophets. We're constantly speaking about the future, but fear leads us to speak about the future without any sign of a good and powerful and present and saving God. If you'll listen to your fears, you'll find they speak to you about the future, and the message is unchanging. Bad things are coming your way, and you're on your own. And that's a lot of pressure. That's stress. Fear prophesies to us this future where we're left to our own resources, our own wits, our own self-reliance. And so what do? We grab control wherever we can. We become self-reliant. We grab hold of however much toilet paper is possible to get. All these crazy things that go on inside of us are a reaction to a future with no God. Brothers and sisters, there is no God in the false prophecies that fear speaks to us. Fear prophesies a Christless future. You know, fear never says, you know, you'll probably get cancer, but through it you're going to experience God in His nearness, in His presence, in the sweetness of His love and comfort like you've never known before. And when it's all over, you'll say you wouldn't have traded that in for anything. Fear never talks to you like that, does it? And that's why we must transition from listening to our fears to listening to God. We want to find rest from our fears so that we can become a people of hope and a people of love. So second, let's listen to God. Just ponder what's happening in our world right now. What happens to someone who trusts in technology, who trusts in science, who trusts in the government, that these are always going to be able to come through for us and solve our problems? What happens when that's your confidence and then a virus spreads seemingly unchecked around the world? People don't know exactly how dangerous it is. People don't know exactly how to stop its spread. People don't know exactly when one becomes contagious to others and for how. There's so much we don't know. And in times like this, if your ultimate confidence and trust is in technology or science or some institution to preserve you and keep you safe, and all of a sudden you're not safe, then what? Well, no wonder people are angry. No wonder people are ranting. No wonder people are looking for someone to blame. No wonder people are compulsively buying, hoarding, or isolating themselves. Why? Because they live in a universe where they're on their own and things are out of control. But as Christians, we don't live in that universe. Hear the word of God to us. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. If God is for you, what should you expect? If God is for you, what should you expect when the coronavirus comes? If God is for you, what should you expect next week? Now, I don't know if you caught what's happening in this passage, but I read the first 9 verses so that we could understand the setting for the 10th verse. What's happening here is Isaiah is prophesying. He's speaking more than 100 years ahead of time about a rising power that was going to come from the east. And this power would be so unstoppable, it would churn through nation after nation. It would cross borders, and no one would be able to stop it, and it would leave people petrified and in fear. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? No, it's not a virus. It's a conqueror named Cyrus. And the way God speaks about this Cyrus is this. He says in verse 2, "Who stirred up one from the east?" And then he says, "Who has performed and done this? I, the Lord, I am He." When Israel, exiled in Babylon, hear and begin to see the rise of Cyrus, and they wonder if this is the end of things for them. They know they're not in control. They know they don't have the power that they need to defend and protect themselves. God says, remember, that Cyrus is my Cyrus. In the mysteries of God's wisdom and providence, He is in charge of everything. Kings and rulers and empires and viruses, stock markets, jobs, governments, borders, health. He's over it all. And He says, Israel, I was here before Cyrus started, and I'll be here long after he's gone. And you're with me. And that's what He's saying to us this morning. He's saying to a people who are afraid, I'm in charge, and I'm with you. God says two things to us in our fears. First, He says this, turn to me now. Turn to me now. You hear how He says this? Fear not, for I am with you. I love that He doesn't just say, fear not. Everything's going to be okay. Fear not. You're going to beat this thing. No. There were good reasons to be afraid in Isaiah 41. And there are good reasons to be afraid today. Coronavirus is a good reason to be afraid. But there's a better reason not to be afraid. I am with you, says the Lord. I am your God. You're not alone. God is on the scene. He is present. He is here. And He is in charge. In Christ, God literally came to be with us. He came to our world. He came to the world of militaries and powers and armies and viruses. He came into this world to say, fear not, I am with you. Now, what difference does that make? Well, it all depends on who the one is who's saying, fear not, I'm with you. Right? Having someone with you who won't help you doesn't get you out of fear. You've got to have someone who's both willing to help and able to help. If I drop in at NIH and say, hey, fear not, I'm here. Let's get this COVID-19 vaccine done and let's get it done today. If I say that, you know what they're going to say? Just go home, Mullery. Nobody needs you here. You can't help us. You don't know what you're doing. I could be well-intended, but I don't have the power to create that vaccine. No, fear only flees when the one who says, I'm with you, is the one who's able and willing to help, and that's our God. When the one who rose from the dead says, I will be with you always, that's a power greater than fear. That's a fear displacing God. And so, what we want to learn how to say is, in these moments when we become afraid, when God says, fear not, He's not saying, just stop it and don't ever do it again. No, what He's saying is, when you become afraid, turn to Him. And the next time you become afraid, turn to Him. And when it happens, turn to Him again. And when it happens after that, turn to Him again. And we begin to think like this and pray like this. God, this is scary. God, I confess this to you. I acknowledge I'm afraid. There are powers greater than myself here. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. But when I'm afraid, I will trust in you and I will turn to you and I will hold fast to you. I may be one of those at-risk people. I may be one of those people who's going to end up sick. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. My income may be uncertain right now. I may not know how this is all going to work out with kids at home for a month. I don't know how to envision all these things. But I do know this. I have you and you have me. And I can rest in that. We want to learn to be a people who turn to God in these things. over and over, more and more frequently. God says, turn to me now. And I love the second part of the verse. He says, listen, trust me for tomorrow. Trust me for tomorrow. I love the I wills of Isaiah 41:10. I want to encourage you this week, memorize this verse. If you're home with a family, with roommates, with other people, memorize this together. Put it up on the refrigerator. Say it, remind it, to remind others of it. Pray through this verse. Think of the I wills. This is the future. Future for fear, there's no God out there. God says, absolutely wrong. I am there. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. When you're dismayed, you know that word dismay, that's a picture of eyes darting all over the place, like a cornered animal. People are dismayed. Fear can lead us to being dismayed. But God says, no, settle down. You're going to need help. That's your future. You're going to need help. I'll be there. I'll help you. You're not strong enough for what's coming your way. It's okay. I'll be there. I will strengthen you. You're going to feel like you're going to just get pushed here or moved there by forces that you can't control. He says, don't worry. I've got you. Right hand. Righteous right hand. I will uphold you. I'll keep you in place. I will uphold you. These are the wonderful I wills of this promise. Trust me for tomorrow. That's a true prophecy of what's waiting for us on Monday, and Wednesday, and April. Our fears never tell us that this moment is an opportunity to turn to God and see His saving power. But this moment is an opportunity to turn to God and see His saving power. Think of God's people in the past, hungry, out in the desert, no grocery stores. God provides manna. On the run from a deranged King Saul, God provides a cave for David to hide in. In need of forgiveness, God provides His only Son to be our substitute on the cross. Think with me about tomorrow for a moment. If Christ has risen from the dead, what's the worst tomorrow possible for you? How bad can it be? What's the actual worst case scenario? If you die tomorrow, trusting in Christ, do you know what that leads to? It's not the end. You wake up in the Father's house forever. Nothing to be afraid of. When we learn to live this way, turning to God in our fears, trusting Him for tomorrow, do you know what happens? Instead of turning inward on ourselves, we look up with joyful faith, and then we look out and we're positioned to see the needs of people around us, fearful people around us, vulnerable people around us, opportunities that God is placing maybe in our household, maybe in our neighbors right near us, maybe through someone electronically, in any of a million different ways. As we turn away from fear, we become a people by the power of the Spirit of fearless love. And that fearless love is what's led Christians in the past to put themselves in harm's way during pandemics. The bubonic plague, if I remember correctly, in the 1300s had a death rate of about 50%. About half the people who got it died, if I remember that correctly. In the 1500s, when it came to Martin Luther's hometown in what's now Germany, the bubonic plague, which was at the time called the Black Death, when it arrived in Luther's town, and Luther was a pastor and well known to us as a reformer, at that time in Wittenberg, many people fled the town, fled the city for understandable reasons, and Luther gave no rebuke or correction to anybody who did that. But he decided to stay. He felt it was his obligation as a pastor, and other Christians stayed with him, and they ministered through those days to the sick and the dying in their town. Luther knew that not all Christians were able to do that or called to do that, and he was fine with that. But he knew that he was called to do that. And his courage came from knowing that Christ had risen from the dead. That knowledge enabled him to live with fearless love because he knew his tomorrow was secure. You know, the virus really is a danger. But there's a far greater danger in our world right now than coronavirus. It's the lies that fear speaks to us. You're in danger, it's true, but you're not alone. Trouble may come. Trouble may already be here. But God is already here, and he's already there waiting for us in our tomorrow. And he will strengthen you, and he will help you, and he will hold on to you. This week, by the grace of God, let us learn to listen to our fears and then turn from those fears to God with trust. Let us learn how to pull the fangs out of these fears, how to disarm the lies in these fears, so that we can be a people freed up to reach out in love to those around us, to people who need hope or dinner or toilet paper or prayer or whatever it might be. This is possible for us because to us in Christ, God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." We're going to sing a song that's actually taken from this verse. And as we sing the song, I want to encourage you to listen to these verses, learn these verses, and note that in these verses, we begin typically in our songs, in our worship songs, we're thinking about us singing to God. But here, these are, as we're singing, we're actually singing words that God is speaking back to us, words of comfort and words of hope. So let's sing, and then we'll have a pastoral prayer to close the service.